The following is a Fourth Hand production.
Hey, Joba, you know what today is?
Intergalactic Orgy Day?
No.
Oh, wait. It's the Interstellar Hedonist Festival kickoff.
Also no. Today is the 14th anniversary of Pluto being demoted from being a planet.
Oh, yeah, just like that one time I was demoted from space pirate to space buccaneer.
Yeah, that's not a real thing, but at least you get the concept.
So what does that have to do with anything?
Honestly, nothing. But it seemed like a good segue to talk about sci-fi characters who were demoted or just disappeared.
Wait, did you just break the fourth wall?
Yeah, I figured if it worked for Deadpool, it was good enough for us.
It's time for the news. Delete, 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 delete.
Welcome back to another second-tier episode of Close Encounters, the Slurred Kind. As always, I'm your host, Joba, forgetting characters Fett, and joining me as always...
Ripley scooting down to Peg Scott.
And we're back to give you another episode about those lovable sci-fi characters who just didn't do well. So maybe not lovable at all, but you get the picture. But first, let's hit the newswire.
Greetings. My name is Zero Frux, the Ship's X Series Flatulence Removal Unit, and you're listening to the Antimatter Minute.
All right, so, as we're all living in, pandemic days and, what would be the modern day apocalypse, there is an unknown pandemic that is sweeping not necessarily our nation, but a nation, across the seas. One that's vastly underrated and just as dangerous. So this one's coming at you from The Guardian. Road sleeping epidemic hits Okinawa as warm weather meets heavy drinking. So police in southern Japan are reporting more than 7,000 cases of Rohone last year. So Japan, largely tolerant of salarymen snoozing on trains after an evening out, but authorities on the southern island of Okinawa are taking a dim view of a worrying new trend in alcohol-fueled somnolence. I'm assuming that has to do with alcoholic intake. A local police reported more than 7,000 cases of Rohone, literally sleeping on the road. Last year, a phenomenon some attribute to Okinawa's balmy weather and an enthusiastic consumption of a fiery spirit that has been made on the island for hundreds of years. Police in Japan's southernmost prefecture, located 1,000 miles from Tokyo, are thought to be the only force in the country that keeps statistics on Rohone. God, that sounds fucking made up. According to the Mainichi Shimbun. I didn't even know the term Rohone before coming to Okinawa. I think it's a phenomenon unique to Okinawa. Oh, God, these words. Tadataka Miyazawa. Tadataka Miyazawa. In most instances, people are roused from their impromptu slumber before coming to any harm, but 16 of the 7,221 Rohone cases reported last year resulted in accidents, three of them fatal. So three fucking Asian people laying in the road, just dying, like, oh man, I've had enough to drink. I'm just gonna, this is good. This is a good spot. It's comfy, I like a firm mattress anyways. Doesn't get more firm than...
The asphalt holds heat well, so, provides that soothingness that you need to fall asleep.
Exactly. And, I'm not going to go through the whole article, but, one of my favorite quotes on it is that in some cases, police have come across victims, in air quotes, using the curb as a cooling pillow. Others have stripped down to their underwear, apparently, in the belief that they are already at home. As much as I want to shit on this so-called pandemic sweeping, the nation of Japan, I can't say I haven't been there, except I usually find a nice warm bush or at least at least next to a nice mailbox or something of a local nice house. I tried to avoid the trailers, pardon me, but I did.
Maybe, a fire hydrant if you were wanting to spoon or something.
Yeah. Something of that nature. But to finish up the article, it says radio broadcasts and a photo exhibition warning of the dangers of Rohone do not appear to have convinced drinkers to stop while they're capable of making it to the safety of their own beds. And the very last line is, don't get me wrong, alcohol isn't bad, he told the Mainichi. It's just bad to drink to excess. Well, you know what? Go fuck yourself, I guess.
So they talked about this fiery spirit that's made on the island and that the enthusiastic consumption of that is the cause of this. What is this fiery spirit and why don't we know about it? Like,
yeah, man,
these are the questions that need to be answered.
Send that shit to the U.S. We need that. God, we are all so bored in our homes wearing these stupid ass cotton masks. The least we can do is get crazy stupid on some Rahone, you know, I don't know what the whatever this stuff is. We need it. We absolutely need it. I rest my case.
I was trying to think of a joke with Rohifnol and Rahone, but I got nothing. I'm sure it's there.
What is Rohifnol? I should probably.
Roofies.
Oh, that's seems like a scientific term, you know. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, from The Hangover, and he's like, what the fuck is this Rohifnol?
I just know roofies from The Hangover when he says the floories. Cause
yeah, they should be called floories. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, well, that's crazy shit. So anyways, that's all I had for you today, but I know you have a fantastic one up your sleeve as well.
That's right. As the world gets more and more PC, and not all of it is bad. We're not saying that. There is some need to change, but this seems to be an overcorrection. Mm-hmm. So NASA has decided to remove offensive, and I'm going to go ahead and put that in air quotes because I would never peg these terms as offensive, names from planets and other heavenly bodies. They're not changing my nickname, though. My heavenly body stays the same.
Oh, man, Teresa would differ on the context of heavenly, but I don't know. Just kidding. All right, keep going.
All right, so political correctness has expanded to space where NASA says planets, galaxies, and other heavenly bodies will no longer be referred to by, quote, offensive nicknames. And that was...
Get the fuck out of here. Oh, my God.
And we only get two examples of these offensive nicknames. The first one is the Eskimo Nebula. Now, the Eskimo is the name of a type of people. I mean, would they prefer the Inuit Nebula? I mean, are Eskimo kisses now considered offensive? Like, what the fuck's going on here? Is it an Eskimo Jack? Is that not a thing anymore? Is igloo offensive? Like,
what bothers me is it's going to only be known as NGC 2392. We don't know what NGC stands for. Does it say on there? I don't think so. I mean, I know what the N-word is, and I know not to use the N-word. I mean, I don't know what a G and a C would stand for. I mean, I kind of know a C-word. It's another one that I try not to use because my mom would be ashamed of me. So, sorry. Keep going. What's the other one's even funnier.
Yeah, the other one is the Siamese Twins Galaxy. And now that will only be known, or they will be known as NGC 5467 and NGC 5567. And God damn it, you think doing what I do, I wouldn't be illiterate with numbers, but NGC 4567 and NGC 4568. So yeah, that tells you a lot there. But Siamese twins, like...
I'm guessing that stands for New Galactic Cluster. That's just a guess. I have no idea. I'm probably going to do a search on that later. We may tweet it out and see what it actually stands for. But anyways, I digress. So what are you saying? Yeah, you had a Siamese twins comment?
New General Catalog.
Oh, that's way... Ugh, oh, man. Yeah. It pisses me off that I was even wrong. But you know what? I'm wrong about a lot of things. Banning the Siamese twins galaxy, that's like... When is porn going to be, you know, relegated to these kind of like political offenses? What I mean, I'll be honest, there's plenty of Siamese twins porn titles I'd watch. And you know, when are they going to dial that back? You know, how is that not offensive? I mean, when you're going through your, you know, your incognito window and something comes up and says little tiny brown midget gets it on with four, you know, Eskimos. Yeah, I'm bringing both of these conundrums into the same scenario here. If you look at that, everyone's going to click on that. No one's going to think twice about some like porno title. Why not remove that stuff? Why is it okay to have that, but NASA, freaking like prestigious organization, can't just name stuff for the sake of naming stuff? It's just ridiculous. I don't get it at all. It's just like, you know, you're going to relegate one thing. Why would you not relegate everything? They're trying to, I guess. I don't know.
Maybe. Right. And wasn't there like a... Yeah, there's still Oriental Avenue on Monopoly. I mean,
that's right.
Wouldn't you think that was a little bit more offensive than Siamese Twins Galaxy?
I think they'll get there. They'll get there one day. They're going to start infecting our board games. You know, there's going to be PC, you know, Ouija boards. There's going to be PC Monopoly boards. There's going to be PC Scrabble. God, can you imagine what they're going to do to Scrabble? How many rules Scrabble's going to have? You can't spell that word. Whoa. It's 2022. 2023 is approaching. You know, we've already banned every other word in the English language. We can't have those words. Gah. So ridiculous. I'm sorry. Yep. Man.
Quote is, NASA is examining its unofficial terminology for cosmic objects as part of its commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. NASA's Associate Administrator for Diversity and Equal Opportunity, Stephen T. Shih, agreed, saying, these nicknames and terms may have historical or cultural connotations that are objectionable or unwelcoming, and NASA is strongly committed to addressing them.
Of course they are. They should be strongly committed to getting us to fucking Mars, not worried about wordplay. But, you know, guess that's we have our Bond villain, you know. Hopefully he'll take us there one day. And for those of you who are new listeners or, you know, who are just, like, stumbled upon this podcast and like, what? A Bond villain? We're talking about Elon Musk, so.
All right, so I did quickly Google, is Eskimo offensive? And there's an article on CNN from June of this year saying that, with a quote from the University of Alaska saying, this name is considered derogatory in many other places because it was given by non-Inuit people and was said to mean eater of raw meat.
That's just a thing people do. I mean, if it was eater of raw rotten meat, I could understand it being offensive, but I don't get it. I don't get it. Ugh.
Yeah, and in Canada and Greenland, the term Eskimo is predominantly seen as offensive or non-preferred and has been widely replaced by Inuit, you know.
My opinions on this could go on forever, but, you know, you're talking to someone who unfortunately has to hail from the D.C. area, so I am having to cheer for a team known as the Washington Football Team now.
Yep.
I mean, that's literally their title. I can't call them anything other than the Washington Football Team. I mean, that is just redonkulous.
It is an interesting time we live in, to say the least. All right, let's go ahead and move on to our special segment, as we kind of foreshadowed previously, with characters who disappeared and or were replaced.
Yippee-ki-yay, it's the special segment of the day.
Joba, you came up with a pretty good list, so why don't we start off with that first, and then we'll hit on a few that you didn't get.
Yeah, let's do it. So, one of the most notable that I could possibly come up with here are the Star Trek red shirts. You know, those lovely red-shirted security officers, you know, heading into harm's way to do what they can do for the rest of the crew of the Enterprise. You know, a lot of them don't come back home, and they just never come. If you notice, I don't think, and I've seen the original series 1,000,000,000,000,000 times, I honestly don't think they ever use a red shirt two times in back-to-back episodes. I think it's always a different stand-in actor playing a new red shirt. I don't think there's ever a second one. So to say that those people have been either demoted, air quotes, and or just completely wiped off the face of the, you know, universe, you know, it goes...
Exterminated.
Correct. So that would absolutely be the first one, the most prolific that would come to mind. So I'll let you take it away for number two.
All right. Staying in the world of Star Trek, Kirk going from Admiral to Captain in Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
Yeah, you know, I love that. It's one of my favorite Star Trek movies. I don't know if you've seen that one. You ever seen that? They save the whales. And I don't know how it correlates. There's a satellite. It's causing all kinds of chaos. It's making this really annoying, high-pitched hum in the beginning. It's actually one of the most entertaining Star Trek original movies. And they go back to, like, 20th century, and they're walking around. You know, Spock does his little Vulcan neck pinch on some dude who's being obnoxious on a bus. They do all these little funny, family-friendly, laughable moments. And the end of it, they're like in the middle of Starfleet. The guy who's in charge of stuff, the authority figure's like, All right. So you guys stole a bunch of Starfleet shit. You ran off with it. You know, you broke a lot of treaties. You also hijacked a Klingon bird of prey and you used it to your advantage. So slap on the wrist. You're no longer an admiral. You're a captain. Here's your spaceship. Go have more fun. Seems like a very, very light punishment for hefty crimes. But you know what? It's Captain Kirk. He ripped his shirt off and made out with every girl he ever saw. So I guess it's fitting for him.
This is true. And and I can't say for certain, but that's kind of a trope now, right? In that male-driven action hero that they, you know, have to fall down or they get demoted or something like that. I mean, I watched The Hitman's Bodyguard for the first time on the plane this week and with Ryan Reynolds.
And was that good? And Samuel L. Jackson, was that a good one?
I mean, it's a popcorn movie. It wasn't bad. Like, I didn't hate it or anything. It was entertaining. But, like, you know, it starts out with him, you know, being, like, upper echelon security, like, the cream of the crop. And, like, his client dies and his world just unravels. And next thing you see him, he's driving, like, a minivan that smells like ass. And, you know, he's basically down on his luck. And so, yeah, I mean, granted, it's just kind of common sense storytelling, right? You have to have the ups and the downs, but that does seem to be like one of the big ones is just like getting demoted.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and sticking in the Star Trek universe again for number three, we got Pike. So Captain Pike was a prolific Star Trek captain, predates Captain Kirk on his 5-year mission to seek out new life, new civilizations, where we go, and always gone for. Blah, 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 blah. And so he was in the pilot episode of Star Trek, the original series. And I can't remember. There's an episode called The Menagerie Parts 1 and 2, or the episode The Cage Parts 1 and 2. One of those was the pilot episode. I can't remember. If you type in or Google pilot Star Trek, it'll tell you exactly what the title is. And it's one of the two. They use clips from that pilot episode in later episodes of Star Trek, the original series, in a very clever way, which I won't go into because it definitely digresses from the topic at hand. The Cage. Okay, so that was the pilot. So The Cage originally has Captain Pike, played by someone that never shows up again. I have no idea what his name is. And then later on, it shows Pike as an old man when they reuse clips from that episode and later episodes as just an old guy in a little wheelchair with just a red button that means yes and a green button that means no. And he just blinks a lot. And that's kind of that dude. And it's someone else playing him entirely. So this guy literally never gets another chance to shine. But Captain Pike does show up again in the new J.J. Abrams verse. And there is a new Star Trek show coming to CBS called Strange Skies or Strange Days or Strange Times Adventures. Strange Times at Starfleet High. I don't know. It's called Stranger Voyages or some crazy something like that. But anyways, yeah, so that's Pike. He was kind of replaced. I guess they decided Kirk showed a little bit more bravado in his appearance. And I guess he had a knack for betting more women than him at the time. So they chose to go with William Shatner. So given on how much money they made, they didn't William Shatner the bed. So they definitely made a lot of money in casting him. But
and so the guy that played Pike was named Jeffrey Hunter, and he actually died 4 years after that pilot episode aired. So that would have, that would have been basically the opposite of William Shatner, because that guy's going to live for fucking ever.
Very true. I guess that's very, very true. You know, he was great. Honestly, The Cage is a fantastic for a pilot episode of a 60s era sci-fi show. It's fantastic. I actually just watched it again on vacation because I guess that's just the kind of shit I do, being the nerdy self I am. And it held up. I mean, it was really, really good. So anyways, that's all we have to say about that. I'll let you take away number four, one of our mutual favorites.
Yes, indeed. Lex Luthor, played by Michael Rosenbaum, was infamously replaced during the 8th season over contract disputes, I believe. And you may probably remember better than I can. I think he was just over the show at that point, and
he wanted his fame and fortune and glory, and all he got was like a movie where he dresses up like a chick and a new band, and he has a successful podcast, probably way more successful than definitely way more successful than ours. He's had Kristen Bell on his show, so I can't say we've had anyone like that.
But, that is true. But yes, yeah, so he was played by a guy that really didn't even look like that much like him, and they had to basically distort his face and like cover it up and just do all this sort of shit. And it was very obvious that it was not him. And they did bring him back though for the final episode, right?
And they replaced him sort of with his sister. They kind of were like, hey, here's this here's this really weak replacement character that's never been mentioned in any comic book, you know, lore whatsoever. But we're going to create it for the show. You know what? I liked her. I actually met her in person at one of the Smallville cons that I went on. God, I'm never going to get laid saying the things I say in this podcast. But, you know, she was super sweet in person, and her character actually develops over the course of those three, you know, divisive seasons of Smallville. I kind of ended up liking her towards the end, and they continued her arc in the comics, actually, in the Smallville season 11 continuity. And she ends up being having, I think, a very big presence in you know, that particular medium of comic book lore. So they did a good job.
Tess
Mercer. Yeah, Mercer or whatever. And she, you know, it sucked to not have Lex, you know, but they did. I think Smallville did the right thing by not shoehorning a completely new actor in Rosenbaum's place, because he was so fucking epic as Lex Luthor.
Right. Mm. But he did return for the series finale, didn't he?
He did, with a really horrible ball cap. Yeah.
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Very good. All right. Moving on to the next one.
Yeah, we got Mulder, the X-Files. So Mulder, he kind of gets fired from the X-Files postseason. Oh, I want to say 7 was his last reoccurring permanent spot on the show as being a member of the cast. And the two new agents come into play. We've got Agent Doggett and Agent Reyes, and they do a really good job there for a little bit. Takes a little time and to, you know, build the momentum with their character arcs and see where the show goes. They still show the weird shit. All the conspiracies still come to light. Oh, aliens, truth is out there. You know, the ex-regular. That's a horrible reenactment of the X-Files theme song. I can't do it any justice. It's actually very unique. Anyways, yeah, so he leaves the show, then Gillian Anderson kind of leaves the show for a while, and it just kind of becomes this Doggett and Reyes thing for a few seasons before they both come full force back in season 10. And I love season 10 and season 11. So anyways, they did what they had to do, kind of similar to Smallville. I think Smallville pulled it off a little smarter, but you know, we're talking about a 90s era show, and this stuff happened way prior to Smallville, so you know, they did what they could, I guess.
That is true. Now, I'll bring up the next one, but you're going to have to talk about it because I literally have no knowledge of this one. So Maximilian Arturo from Sliders.
Oh, yeah. So Sliders, also another infamous, fantastically cheesy sci-fi show. One of my personal favorites from way back in the 90s. It's a show where these guys get together. They have vastly different backgrounds, and this kid invents this, looks like a clicker. Basically, if you can imagine Adam Sandler's little clicker, but instead of, you know, stopping time and going fast forwarding and rewinding, whatever, it opens portals to other multiverse Earths, so they can slide through these portals into other Earths. But the issue is he never set a precedent to get back home. So no matter what Earth they slide into, it's an infinite probability of him landing into any Earth at all. So they never actually find their way back home. They do have a few instances where that shows and kind of plays at them maybe coming back home, and actually the Earth that they thought was the wrong Earth ended up being the right Earth, but they'd already left. It was a few of those times in the show. Anyways, Maximilian Arturo is the scientist guy who is kind of a mentor figure to Quinn. Who plays Quinn? He's Kangaroo Jack. He's the dude who is the hairdresser on Kangaroo Jack. He's been in all kinds of stuff. He's also in Star Trek Lower Decks. Jerry O'Connell plays Quinn. Yeah. So Maximilian Arturo is also the guy on Indiana Jones who is just all about those little dates in Raiders of the Lost Ark. He's all about the little dates, and he's the Hindi. I'm the you know, Middle Eastern guy. That's your friend that does things for you. I'm a little chunky, and I provide plucky comic relief, and I come save the day a little bit sometimes.
Sean Reese Davies?
Yeah, that guy. Remember that guy?
No, not really, but...
Oh, man, he was a huge part of Raiders of the Lost Ark. Anyways, so he ends up getting killed off prematurely, and then eventually Quinn himself, Jerry O'Connell... He just decided to leave the show, I guess, and they eventually kill him off, and they do it in a real weird way. They introduce a brother he didn't have on his Earth, but had in a different Earth from a different multiverse, and then that brother combines DNA with another brother that neither of them had, and it creates a completely new character because that brother decided to leave. Oh, my God. It was this big convoluted thing, and by the time the show got to the very last season, I think it probably had, like... two people watching it at the end of this thing. Started out super strong, ended super bad.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the IMDb page, and so there's Jerry O'Connell listed as Quinn Mallory for 95 yeah. through 2000, and then there's a Robert Floyd also listed as Quinn Mallory in 99 and 2000.
See,
and,
yeah, he's probably one that got picked up like as a replacement or whatever. Yeah, see.
And then Jerry O'Connell's brother, Charlie O'Connell, playing Colin Mallory. And
yep, that was the brother he has, I guess. That other dude must have been their DNA spliced fake brother, the one that you mentioned first that had no last name semblance. But yeah, it's ridiculous. All right, so I'll go to the next one. So the next one we got is all 400 Spider-Men. There's been so many portrayals of Spider-Man in the last 10 years. It's ridiculous. I'll be honest with you. I'm willing to watch any movie superhero-based that is not Spider-Man. I think each one of them has knocked it out of the park in their own respect. I think Tobey Maguire did a great job. I think, what's his name?
Garfield?
Yeah, the Andrew Garfield. I loved the first. I loved The Amazing Spider-Man. Thought it was way better than any of the original three. I just did. And then I hated Amazing Spider-Man 2. Thought it was awful. And then we got, oh, man, I keep blanking on these names. Tom Holland is the most accurate to the, you know, comic book lore. And then we have the little, you know, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse with the cartoon characters and all that. It's just, we're so inundated with Spider-Man stuff. I'm ready to see something else. I was excited about the Tom Hardy Venom stuff, and then that just kind of just went stale because the movie did kind of blow, but had a few good parts. But, you know, there's just been so many. They just keep getting replaced. I don't know. What's up with that? I don't know how you feel about it. I don't know. Which one was your favorite?
I'm none of them ones that, like, I'll see on TV and be like, oh, yeah, I should watch that. Like, I was watching or just scrolling through channels the other day, and the Far From Home one was on, I think. No, it was the first one, The Homecoming. And
oh, good one.
And I turned it on, and I'm like, I lost interest in like 15 minutes. Like, I knew what happened. It, yeah. You know, it's like it's there's not high stakes. And yeah, it was a good first time viewing, but it's not something that I just want to go back and watch all the time. So. Yeah. Really, none of them are. I do agree with you. I really liked Andrew Garfield in the first one. The second one, agreed, was trash. And, you know, Tom Holland does do a good job. And I just like making fun of crying Tobey Maguire. So
that emo thing with him, like, pointing the finger.
Oh, yeah.
And the hair swing.
Finger guns.
I feel like he probably was listening to just a lot of My Chemical Romance and just, like, yelling at his mom all the time. That's just what I would assume. Well, I guess yelling at his aunt. Maybe he's yelling at his aunt. You know, we all know he didn't have an uncle. That was dark.
Ooh. All right. With that, we'll move on to Monica Dawson from Heroes Season 2. So I actually did remember this one without having to look it up, unlike a lot of these other ones. She's basically the Heroes version of Taskmaster. From the Marvel Universe, she had, you know, the ability to replicate anything that she saw as far as
physical attributes and things like that, movements.
It's like, I can't remember what they used for the term Taskmaster, but yeah, like physical mimicry or something like that. Like, she sees somebody do a backflip, she can do a backflip. She sees somebody do a roundhouse kick, she can do a roundhouse kick, that type of thing. And it was a very interesting character. And, like, you know, she could have been a good, like, Swiss Army knife in the series. And
yeah,
she just kind of just went away. Granted, anything after season two of Heroes is not worth watching in the first place. So,
well, you know, I'm glad you took that one. This kind of works out perfectly, because I'll be honest, I have yet to watch, of all the things and all the nerdy stuff I watch, I haven't gotten into Heroes. I've never watched a full episode. I don't think I've ever even seen an episode of Heroes. And everyone says, you really need to watch the first season of the first whatever. And I guess I need to eventually just kind of bite the bullet and do it. I think I'm just heartbroken in the same way I was with Firefly, because if I get into it and I'm attached, I'm like, fuck, I can't watch anything else. It's gone. You know, they cut it so short.
Yeah, and then, like, they brought it back. Like, they did that Reborn, the Heroes Reborn, and that was...
Real bad.
That was pretty rancid garbage. Like, I think I watched two or three episodes, and I'm like, not worth the time. So, and that was when I had a lot of spare time to actually shit. And, yeah, it was even worth that. So, take us to number nine.
All right, so number nine, we got Dougray Scott of Mission Impossible 2 fame. Plays the bad guy versus Tom Cruise's Ethan Hunt. And also he stars on Hemlock Grove, which was a real shitty series that lasted way longer than it should have. And I did unfortunately hold out and watch the whole thing in hopes it would get better. And also on Batwoman, which I've never seen an episode of, and I will never watch an episode of. So
I sadly have watched about three of them one night when I was really bored.
Please tell me you were inebriated beyond composure.
I think it was actually after a podcast, and I was up one night, and yeah, there was nothing on, and we had the HBO Max, and figured, what
disappointment
the fuck?
Abounds, man.
Right? Like, yeah,
was it as bad as I figured? Was it totally man bad, woman good?
It's no. It wasn't like a complete feminist agenda. It was just, you could tell, like, they basically took the rubber molding off of the Christian Bale Batman suit, like
the original suit, yeah,
and
Nolan one,
right? And like, it's definitely the same cowl, but fake or trashy rubber version of his suit. Like,
dude,
they didn't want to spend the money for the real thing. So
the trailers were enough for me to be like, fuck that. When they say, oh man, the bat suit, it's so phenomenal, it was worth so much, we just need, it's the best suit ever. And then she makes this comment, is like, it will be when a woman wears it or something. It's in the trailer. It's in one of the trailers.
Yeah, that.
Oh, man. I'm like, what? The suit you stole and you went down without your permission and went and did. Oh, my God. Oh, fuck that show. Oh, my God. Anyway, so to go on with that, he was supposed to play. So Dougray Scott that we talked about of this, you know, these three things.
Dougray, by the way.
Dougray. So Dougray Scott, it, you know.
Or no, you're right. It is Dougray.
Dougray?
Yeah, it is. That Scottish fuck.
Well, he was supposed to be. He was originally tapped to be the Wolverine, but was replaced later by Hugh Jackman. I can't remember exactly why. I did look it up, but the point of the matter is that he was supposed to be. And you know what? To be honest with you, if you look at the guy's attributes and you see his physical mannerisms and like the way he talks with his Australian accent in certain movies, honestly, I could absolutely to this day see him playing Wolverine type character. Even if he were to come back and play like an older Wolverine, I think he'd knock it out of the park. And I think he is a good casting choice.
Yeah, and so he was actually in Mission Impossible 2, which had a schedule overlap, which caused him to drop out of playing Wolverine. That's what happened.
Well, you can take away on the next one.
All right, so moving on to number 10, and this is a two-part feature. We've got Elizabeth Shue being replaced by, replaced Claudia Wells in Back to the Future 2. Apparently, they just were not happy with Claudia Wells, as nobody's ever heard of her since.
It's right. I know it was. I mean, I didn't even know there was an actress replacement until probably, God, I had to have been like 24 years old rewatching it for probably the 400th time. and being same. Like, oh my God, that's not the same girl. It never even dawned on me that there had been a replacement because they're so seamless. The two movies are so good at syncing.
And the dad actually got replaced as well. So this will be a three-parter. Crispin Glover did not act in the second one. I think that one was a contract dispute. And I think Robert Zemeckis, I think, is the one that directed it. And so they just got a guy that kind of looked like him, gave him a prosthetic nose, and called it
no way. I got to go back and rewatch the Back to the Future 2.
Back to the Future 2 is a different dad. Yep.
Even when they go back to the scenes where he's knocking out Biff, even on the flashback scenes where they're going back and he's like investigating in his little leather jacket, that's not the same dad.
Anything that would have been stock footage that they wouldn't have had to alter is probably still him, and they probably gave him a royalty, but anything where it would have been an alteration.
I totally understand. Then you're talking about the parts where it's like it's showing future dad or whatever when he's like older and he's written the book that, you know, he talks about at the end of the movie.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Still never hit me. It's still that I would have never guessed that it was a different actor, though. Still very impressive.
Yeah. So he played it was Crispin Glover in number one. And holy shit, Robert Zemeckis did direct. I'm on fire right now. And I'm looking up real quickly to see who was the dad in the second one, just so I don't leave our five listeners hanging. Jeffrey Wiseman. Wow.
Oh, man.
Who, if you look at him at his IMDb photo now, looks literally nothing like Crispin Glover. God, he has not aged well. Wow. So anyway, all right. So now to the trifecta. This one's pretty well known of Eric Stoltz, who played
Original Marty, right?
The movie Mask, where is it PC? Probably not to call him the Elephant Man. He played him in the Cher movie Mask, and that's basically what I know him from. But yeah,
oh
Eric
my
Stoltz.
God, I was sitting here thinking of Jim Carrey's The Mask. I'm sitting here like thinking, smoking, but you're thinking on a whole different level. Never mind.
Yes,
never mind.
Yes, yes. So he was originally cast for it, and I think they did a lot of actual filming, and then they decided that he wasn't a good fit, I believe. This is just me trying to remember off the top of my head, but he was originally cast until Michael J. Fox came in.
I mean, how could you turn down Doc Hollywood? Come on now. I mean, hey, he was the Teen Wolf. I mean, come on. He only howls once in a blue moon, and that blue moon just happened to set right over the cast or the setting of Back to the Future. So anyways, that was corny and a terrible segue into number 11. So we got James Remar and or Raymar, however you want to pronounce that, aka Dexter's dad, not Dexter's Laboratory. We're talking Dexter kill serial killers because they do bad things, and I'm a much more evolved serial killer than the other serial killers. He was supposed to play Corporal Dwayne Hicks instead of Michael Bane, who, if you don't remember, was Reese from Terminator. So in the Alien franchise, I don't know if you remember that or not. So in Aliens, in the sequel of Alien, there's that. It's got Bill Paxton and Michael Bane from, you know, the Terminator franchise. But James Remar, the guy who plays Dexter's dad, also a great actor. And I can't say how he would have been back then because I've only seen him in recent movies. Recent movies and recent TV shows. I don't know how he would have been in the 80s. So he may have looked way younger. I'm not quite sure how he would have looked back then. I've not seen a movie with him that early. Probably would have done a good job. He's a great actor otherwise. So, you know, I think they did the right thing because Aliens is one of those memorable movies where the sequel is 100,000 times better than the original. It's the same thing that Terminator did. It's the same thing that those are probably the two best examples. So I don't know. Anyways, that's all I got for that one. I don't know if you have anything to say about that one.
No, but yeah, I love James Remar as Dexter's dad. He was a great character.
Phenomenal character. Great commentary, great like presence. He was fantastic.
100% agree. Even in the late seasons that were trash, he was still good.
Yep.
All right. Number 12, again, something that you will have to provide more context to. Samantha Morton from Minority Report was originally Samantha, the operating system in the movie Her. I do know that she was replaced by Scarlett Johansson because that she does have a more distinctive voice. And of course, the joke that Joba wrote, maybe having the same name was a bit too on the nose for them, if the OS could have a nose, that is.
That is sound like something I write, because I did. I wrote it. Yeah, so Samantha Morton played a precog in Minority Report. Yeah, that was a drunk thing to say. Drunk slur. Minority Report. There's a lot of ways to move your lips when you say that title. So a precog is basically someone that predicts crime before it happens. It happens in the Minority Report universe with Tom Cruise. Great movie. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's classic sci-fi. It's sci-fi at its best in the 2000s. And she was originally tapped to play Samantha, the OS in the movie. I'll be honest. I am really glad they went Scarlett Johansson because that's a much more recognizable voice. And I have never heard Scarlett Johansson's voice and not wanted to immediately fall in love, have like an inordinate amount of children with that voice and just live happily ever after on an island far, far away. So I think I did the right thing by replacing the casting.
I would agree with you. Why don't you take us to the next one? This one is this could have been world changing.
Yeah, right. So. Yeah, all right, everybody, buckle up. All you dimension hoppers listening to the Antimatter Minute Dimension, you know, make sure you've got your butts planted in a nice, secure place, because Tom Selleck could have been Indiana Jones. He apparently couldn't get out of the Magnum PI contract for the movie, so Spielberg and Lucas went with Harrison Ford instead. So I could see Tom Selleck playing Indiana Jones. He wouldn't have needed a whip because he's got his mustache.
That's right. Who wants a mustache like, ride?
You just could have mustached everything. To you know, whoosh, 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 ah. I just could see him using that mustache as a Nazi smacking. Just knocking guns out of Nazi hands. Just mustache whip. Mustache whip. That'd be awesome.
All right, moving on. Number 14. Jean-Claude Van Damme was supposed to play the part of the Predator in the original 1987 movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. But the vain motherfucker was pissed off when they found out that he would never be able to show his face because the son of a bitch was ailing. He apparently did not, muscles from Brussels did not apparently recognize that part of the role.
How could you read the cat? How could you read that like screenplay and be like, oh man, yeah, that's the role for me, and think your face would somehow be shown in its true form? I don't know how that happens. Whatever.
Right. And he apparently also passed out while wearing the suit. So they ended up obviously recasting it and also redoing the suit as well. So instead of having, I'm going to say little 5'10", which is like our height, but, you know, compared to who ended up playing him, a guy that was 7 foot. Not nearly as intimidating, because Carl Weathers, I think, is a pretty big guy. And
he's a big dude. Oh, my God.
And, you know, you've got Arnold and Carl Weathers is 6'2". So, and then you got Arnold, who's 6'1", 6'2", somewhere around there, I think. It wouldn't have been nearly as thrilling, I think, to see.
Yeah, I keep wondering what's scarier, a 7 foot tall guy picking up Carl Weathers or a little tiny guy doing flips like Yoda from like Star Wars Attack of the Clones. Like, you know, like I'm saying, like what would be more of a thrill ride? Because, you know, we did see Jean-Claude Van Damme split two semis with his legs. Wasn't that him who did that? He's like on top of a semi. You know, that was cool, but I'll be honest, I don't know what fear that would have induced in me if seeing a predator creature split two semis. So I think they probably went the right route with this whole casting, because that probably would have been a garbage movie. Definitely B movie if they'd cast Van Damme. Sorry, Van Damme lovers out there. He's a badass. Not negating that whole fact, but not a predator badass.
Yeah, not a physically intimidating alien hunter in the jungle. That it just wouldn't have worked. It would have put a completely different spin on things if he's sitting there trying to do roundhouse kicks to Arnold or something. It's just completely different.
Yeah, it would have been a completely different feel. So, anyways, moving on to the next one. We got number 15. Maggie Gyllenhaal replaced Katie Holmes as Rachel in The Dark Knight. And I'll be honest with you. This is another one. It goes back to that old Back to the Future conundrum. I didn't even notice the replacement until years later, after like 2008, even after The Dark Knight. It sounds bad. I should have known.
That is real bad.
I remember talking to my dad about it. And, you know, he wasn't a fan of The Dark Knight because of its dark. Dad, I love my dad to death. He doesn't dig the dark movies. And so The Dark Knight for him was not the dark movies in terms of just The Dark Knight. He just doesn't like scary or whatever, you know, kind of movies like that. So that movie was too dark for him, I guess. Anyways, you know, we had that conversation and he knew that it was a character change. And I was like, what? And he's the one who told me. And he's like, yeah, I watched it one time. And I knew it wasn't the same as Batman Begins, because for some reason he can watch Batman Begins, but he can't watch The Dark Knight, which kind of blows my mind. But, you know, whatever. Can't judge. So I didn't, I don't know, yeah. So you have more to say about that than I do, I think.
I honestly loathed Maggie Gyllenhaal in the role of Rachel Dawes in The Dark Knight. And I was not sad
really?
When she, I was not sad when her character died. I was good with it.
What made you hate her? What made you hate her? What was the...
She just was cloying, I guess. I don't know. I didn't like her. I didn't like her, how she was, I guess.
If Katie Holmes was in the same movie and made the same decisions, would you have hated Katie Holmes also? Or was it just attributes that Maggie Gyllenhaal brought to the character? Just questioning. Didn't know.
I think... Like, I'm not going to say that Katie Holmes is a magnificent actress. I'm not going there, but...
Better actress than Maggie Gyllenhaal, then.
That's the thing. She's probably not. I don't know if it was Christopher Nolan's direction that he wanted her to go, or if it was Maggie Gyllenhaal's take of it, but she just... Yeah, I don't know. I did not like that character at all.
We all have characters that we're not fans of, you know, whether it's the person that plays them or the character, the way they're written themselves. I was just curious, you know, yeah. I was just wondering. But, you know, like I said, I have people the same way where I'm like, fuck, man, I wish this guy had been written out or written differently or just someone else had played them. So, yeah, no harm, no foul. Totally understand that. So, and we got number 16.
That's
Mark
right.
Mark Ruffalo replaces Edward Norton as the Hulk. And I'll be honest. Edward Norton caused a lot of poo-poo-ery and the Marvel Universe with, I guess, Joss Whedon and the rest of the creative team for Marvel in his, you know, decisions and things that he did to try and come back to play the Hulk again a second time. And they just didn't want to. I don't know if it was from payment or what the whole issue was with the script, but he didn't come back. They ended up recasting Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk. I think it would be really cool if Edward Norton eventually plays a giant buffalo in terms to spite Mark Ruffalo because he took his place as the Hulk. I don't know if that makes any sense at all. Maybe I've had way too many beers. I think it's probably just because I've had way too many beers. But I think Mark Ruffalo does a great job as the Hulk. I think Edward Norton, honestly, playing Bruce Banner also did a good job. So I think, yes, Edward Norton's solo Hulk movie was a trash fire, similar to most of the things we've gotten with the Disney Star Wars franchise. And Mark Ruffalo has done a much better job, you know, playing that role with the synergistic, the unified universe of, you know, Marvel. So, but I think they both had their attributes that were good. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. And let's use that as a good segue to talk about news that it came out just yesterday, actually, and it ties in with this demotion replacement thing of Ben Affleck returning as Batman in the Flash movie.
Yes, and it's supposed to be, what's really cool is that the Flash, per his abilities, he's able to like travel faster than any fucker ever able to run, so... You know, it's cool because it's going to be he's going to be joined by Michael Keaton's Batman from the Tim Burton universe. So I think it's going to be very cool to see a multiverse sort of expand from you know, from that and kind of see how they interact. And I'm really glad I hated him as Batman, but it's kind of cool to know that he's going to be back to at least bring closure to his role, because I think that's deserved.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. And I'm a fan of it. I do like, at least I like that they're doing something different, right? Like, because they recasted him and midstream, and like the DC universe is already this gigantic clusterfuck of a trash fire. And
so bad.
So, hey, you know what? Why don't you use one of these super wacky contrived plot points to tie it all together? Why not? Like,
makes sense.
Fuck, you got nothing
else.
The
only way
it
goes up, man, you can only go up from here at this point. Come on.
That is right. Like, goddammit, get Tom Welling in there, get Brandon Routh in there. Like, let's just unite everybody. Fucking Linda Carter on the phone. I don't care.
I would even be okay with Val Kilmer and George Clooney, like, you know, just somehow popping up in there. Even if they were just doing a, you know, some weird cameo on the side of the road just to show their faces. I'd be like, oh, that'd be cool. That'd be nice. That'd be nice, you know, nod.
It'd be hilarious.
Just no bat credit cards. No more of that.
It would be hilarious if, like, he's running through this dimension and he does see, like, Val Kilmer or George Clooney. He's like, oh, shit, wrong place, and, like, just leaves.
That would be hilarious. Oh, man. If only DC Universe had the ability to understand humor in that context. They never will, but, you know, that'd be so funny to see. Oh, that'd be great.
Just a little sight gag. Like, basically the irreverent shit that, you know, they did in Deadpool and stuff, especially at the end of the second one when he goes back and kills Ryan Reynolds before he makes the Green Lantern movie. Just like that type of shit would be hilarious to see them throw in.
Oh, absolutely. I would love that. Oh, man. Yeah, especially anything to eradicate the Batman and Robin movie would be awesome. And any sort of shade they could throw that. Although it has become my number one drinking game. Anytime you hear a pun from Batman and Robin 1997/98, God damn, it's a good time. Man, because you will get drunk. You will get so drunk. Anyways, moving on.
All right, so now we are going to go into one of our favorite segments, Would You Rather.
All idiots, please gather. It's time for Would You Rather.
We're going to keep with the theme of demotion and replacements today. So, Joba, do you want to ask me first, or do you want to get asked first?
I can ask first. You know, the beauty of this one is I had one that was really, really questionable. And if it doesn't fly, the good news is that we have editing tools to remove said segment and replace with another one. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you the first one. And if it seems okay enough, I'll ask you the second one after you ask me the one that you have for me. But, you know, we'll see what happens with the first one.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so you've just been given command of the first and the finest prototype starship of the military's Space Force. You get a call from your supervisor, and due to the social politics ruling every aspect of our daily lives, they have revoked your command because they would rather include someone with more diversity than a single sleeve of Zest saltines. So, your choice. A, accept this mandate from your superior officer, and welcome the opportunity to stay on Earth and compose financial statements, reports, business plans, and budgets for this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to man the first intergalactic voyage to the stars, or B, fake your death and then undergo a risky experimental reverse Michael Jackson surgery in an effort to fake your cultural heritage to attain the command you had once been bestowed upon you. In this case, you've trained for the job and are more than ready to assume command, and no one knows your true identity. I think a little too hard on these things.
Yeah, you went there.
I went there. We started there. You're just gonna might as well in there.
All right. I think that the vitriol and blowback that I would receive should that secret ever come out would be not only devastating for me, but my entire family and everybody that knew me. And that would probably just be a little bit too far for
you'd be getting the same blowback, like like Robert Downey Jr. when he played what's his face in Tropic Thunder.
Right. I'm the dude who's playing the dude who's supposed to be the other dude.
That's right.
What do you mean by you people?
You what people. What you mean, you people?
What do you mean by you people? Oh, good Lord.
All right, so you're going with the A, accepting the mandate from superior officer, going to do all the, you know, accountant business roles and things like that.
Yeah, and I may tell him to go fuck himself, but
you should. Yeah. You should, because he already originally gave you the chance of a lifetime and took it away because of social politics. So, right.
You know, do the classic grab your balls and say, right here, pal, that, you know, that got to go out with a bang at least.
That would be a good bang. That'd be a good bang. All right. So I want to hear yours now. Now I'm excited.
All right. Would you rather be demoted from captain of the Starship Enterprise, or am I saying that right?
Yes.
USS Enterprise, to being its janitor, or be demoted to the leotard that Captain Kirk wears underneath his space uniform?
A very good question. I'm thinking. So in one case, I could be demoted as captain of the Enterprise and be a shit cleaner, but I could probably
and wearing a red jersey, obviously. Yeah, you're
I'm a red shirt. Okay.
Yeah, you're not making it past the first mission. You are a janitor after
as
all.
Long as I'm alive long enough to plant cameras in the bathrooms that I'm cleaning and I'm able to see inside like one of the yeoman's up the yeoman's skirts and or Deanna Troi, depending on which timeline we're talking about. If we're talking about Star Trek Next Generation, but I think we're talking about the original series. So because you mentioned Kirk in the ulterior situation. So I'm not going to lie, man. They wore some short skirts in the original series, and I could see some serious action. Even if I was going to die soon, I could make sure I went out with a bang, just like you did in the last scenario. Otherwise, I'm feeling all Captain Kirk's sweatiness and scruffiness, and, God, I don't know about that. I don't know if I'd want to be feeling all up on that, though I would be privy to all his sexual advances towards every female he ever comes in contact with, which is kind of a plus, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. It's you'd be the middleman for at least a little bit.
Yeah, but that would be a weird three-way type situation, and I want to be my own man. So I'm gonna have to say I'll plant those really creepy those really creepy bathroom things while I'm cleaning up shit, being a janitor, and then eventually dying and going out as a hero. So I'd have to go with that scenario.
I like how you added the going out as a hero, because that definitely was not implied.
Yeah, well, I made it up. It's the beauty of things like this. You just make shit up. I'm going to give you my last one just to see. This was the other one I was going to go with, just in case that one was a little too risque, even though I think we danced around it enough that it'll be PC enough for the podcast. PC podcast. Sorry. Okay. Here it is. Would you rather have access to the best tasting IPA on the planet, but all the alcohol is removed? Or would you rather be able to eat whatever you wanted at any point of time, but everything tastes like chicken?
Oh, I'll definitely drink the beer. I'll drink beer even if I don't get drunk. I like it better than like most drinks. So I'm 100% okay with beer, even if it has the calories. I don't give a shit. I would get so bored of chicken after 3 days that I would just want to cut my tongue out.
I totally understand that. Commendable. And also would have chosen the same thing. So you chose wisely. So congratulations to you, sir.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Many people don't know this, but Jobba was originally cast as a Ravager in the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie, but they had to let him go because they couldn't find child-sized Ravager boots.
But it's probably for the best. I would hate to have Chris Pratt file a restraining order against me. I mean, which would have likely happened had I stayed.
Almost assuredly, your nose would probably have been so far up his ass that he couldn't take a shit without you smelling it. But, you know, on the bright side, at least I was never your second option, right, Joba? Right?
Well, look at the time. Stay slurred, everybody.
Say it ain't so, that's the end of our show. Turn the mic off, go the f*** home.
Joba Fett here. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. If you enjoy our ridiculous content, you can get to your nearest cosmic communication device and spread the word to your friends, family, coworkers, or nearby nerve herders. We're available on Spotify, Google Play, Sheeple Music, I mean Apple Music, or wherever you listen. If you have an idea for our show or would like to propose a theme, send an email to closeencountersslurredkind@gmail.com. That's closeencountersslurredkind@gmail.com or shoot us a message on Facebook. Have a great day, and we look forward to falling even deeper into the Antimatter Minute with you next time on Close Encounters of the Slurred Kind.